not the definition of what happiness should be or what a relationship can get you for happiness.
Yeah, exactly. And all of these if statements does take you away from being in the present, because it's always something that you have to work towards in the future. Like, if I am finally this. Mm-hmm. So you're constantly looking towards this final end game accomplishment, which obviously the things like intelligence or kindness, like that is likely not going to happen, because there's no, you know, maximum where somebody will be completely satisfied with that. And similarly, like, continually looking to the future, at least I feel like I do this a lot, is like looking forward to the next big thing, even if it's just I have plans that are in a week. I'm like, okay, like, let me just get through this week. I'm really looking forward to this. At least I have this, instead of just thinking about the day that I have or like the moment that I'm living in. And that goes for also like a big move. Like, I'm thinking about moving after like graduating, and it's almost like, oh, once I do this, you know, my life is going to start looking up and having, you know, potential to meet all these new people where my life is going to like be so enriched by them. But I think overall I have had that pattern a lot, and that makes it so that once you're in the moment of reaching these things, like, you just are not satisfied with it, because you might feel the same. You might be the same person, because the present moment is, you know, always going to be you there. So yeah,
no, definitely. I feel like I struggle a lot with that too. It's like, you know, go to grad school, finish that, you know, yeah, do the big move, and you'll be happy once you're there, and then once you're there, and then once you're there, and then suddenly you're dead. And so it's like, how do we get out of this hamster wheel? Being present is difficult. It is very difficult. And everywhere online just says, you know, be present. It just says be present. But how do you do that? Yeah. And they're like, oh, meditate. Okay. And then you meditate and it's like, oh, I'm still not present. So it's something that we're still trying to figure out. But it's because being present is hard. It is so hard. It is way harder than we think it is. And that's why no one does it. But it's just something that you have to work towards. And meditation, for one, is one thing you can do. And accepting all these things slowly over time about yourself and your flaws is another thing you can do. But
and there's also something slightly related, is that I was taking a psychology course, and they mentioned that older people are generally more happy because they are aware of how, I guess, like, short life is, and like how much time they might have. Like, when you're young, it feels like you have all the time in the world, so you make all these future oriented goals. But older people tend to make like meaning based goals, which more have to do with, you know, just finding happiness with the people who are in your life. And it's more like, yeah, focus on living more presently, because the older you get, the less time you have. So planning too much in the future doesn't really, you know, make sense at that point anymore. And since all of us, not to get too dark, like, we also don't know how much time we have, so constantly making these plans for the future, like, you don't even know if those plans are going to happen. So all you really have is like the moment that you're in.
Definitely. And it feels so weird that we've been just told all this, like, you know, like, be present, be present, be present. But we still prize people who have this ability to gain all these goals and think for the future and do all these things in the future. And we love that, you know. And it's kind of, I'm curious about this, because it's like, why do we prize it so much? Why do we prize this perfect human being? And then my first thought was that we think that perfection is a form of happiness, albeit it is, you know, false. It's easy. It's an easy way to think of it. A digestible way, you know, if you're perfect, you have money, if you have money, you have stability, you have time, you have time for your hobbies, you could even buy a relationship, for example. So, you know, it's like, oh, well, that person must be happy, they're so perfect, they have everything, that must be happiness. And I think that that's just our tendency as humans to overvalue black and white thinking. I feel like we're all like, oh, this is everything and this is nothing, and it's just easier for our little brains, like, to understand, because we can just associate things in categories, like, rich people are happy, poor people are depressed, and instantly we can just come to these conclusions, even though as everything, as every issue in the world, it is complex and gray, and we just don't want to wrap our brains around this. And so we just think perfection is happiness and imperfection is sadness, mm-hmm. pretty much. You know, imperfection is defective. It's valueless. It's people who, you know, can't get a job, people who can't get this, people who look like this. And that's just my first thought. There's definitely other theories out there, but what do you think?
Yeah, I might have a theory just forming right now. We'll see how it goes. But I do think that rich or poor, no matter what your financial status is, this is kind of what capitalism does to keep the cogs turning, because I think this chase for perfection is kind of associated with more. Like, what you have isn't enough, so you constantly need more, and could be more money to go on trips and to get the things that you want, meet the people that you need to meet, feel successful. I think a lot of people want to feel like they succeeded in life, and a measurement of that within capitalism is not, you know, if you're content with what you have, but it's kind of how much you have and mm-hmm. like how much progress you've made in life, not emotionally a lot of the time. Like, capitalism doesn't really care about how much progress you've made emotionally or socially. Like, that's, it's more about like material items, objective, like advancements in careers or jobs. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I definitely do think like this type of thinking is what keeps capitalism going, because, you know, I don't know if it is true that rich people are necessarily happier, but everyone who doesn't have enough money, you know, wants to be rich, and even like, and it's so unattainable, especially in this time in our world, that, you know, like, it's just this fake dream that nobody can really truly achieve. And even if you do, you're not really happy. So
exactly.
Yeah.
And all these people, they have all their little flaws and stories behind them that they hide, and not maybe that they don't intend to hide, but we just don't see them. And, you know, that kind of goes back into the idea of, you know, why do we find this imperfection so appealing? Like, for example, the kintsugi, like, why do we like these bowls with the golden scars on them? And there are a lot of theories on this, very debatable. There's things with self-compassion, and there's some things with authenticity that people mention, but what I found is that, for me, I think that overall, if I'm thinking of people who just overall are imperfect, but they are okay with that, this can show someone who is confident in who they are, and that they have a lot of compassion for themselves, and that we always want ourselves, and we respect things that people have that we don't have. And maybe that could be an idea of why we find it appealing, because people who seem to be imperfect, but are fine with themselves, can do something that we can't. But that's just one example.
Yeah, I think all I really got for like why we could find imperfection appealing is that accepting the imperfections that are just a natural, normal part of life, and maybe, you know, just a characteristic of life, can actually let you be more satisfied with yourself and your life.
Mm-hmm. I also found another point on this as well. For imperfection, it could also mean, you know, making mistakes. It is making mistakes at work, for example, or living a rough life or having a rough patch for a few years. And there's this theory called, or I guess this experiment called the pratfall effect. So it was this 1966 experiment that was done with a bunch of quiz takers. So some people took quizzes, two groups took quizzes, one of them, they both scored, they both were told to score equally, but one of them, after meeting the person who was evaluating them, spilled something on their self, like a drink or something, but then the other one just took the test and no mistake happened. The person who evaluated looked at both of them and thought which one they would like more, for example, or admire more. And they found that the people who took the test and made the mistake were actually admired more. So this is imperfection, but only if people who are already seen as more admirable or competent. And so when an admirable or competent person makes a mistake and they open up about their struggles, they are seen as, you know, relatable and warm, and they're approachable because this makes them more, I guess, I don't want to say lowered in the social class, in the social hierarchy, because this vulnerability reduces the perceived social distance between you and this very competent person. And so, for example, like, people with lower self-esteem would admire this more because it reduces the distance between them. So for an example would be like Steve Jobs talking about dropping out of college. And we find that, you know, relatable, and we find that warm because it is something that is very raw and vulnerable for him to say because it's shamed upon in society. But Steve Jobs is obviously very, very successful. So we find that admirable. This is just one point for this. And I don't know how I feel about this personally, because also the rebuttal side of this is that they say with those who already make a lot of mistakes, those who already are pretty imperfect in already.
Yeah, how far's the limit?
Like, that it adds more liability if they make a mistake to already being incompetent. So it's like an imperfect person, you know, makes a mistake, and then they make an imperfect mistake, and this is not appealing.
Yeah, like, how many mistakes can you make until it's like, okay, wrap it up?
You know, like, it doesn't make sense. And this has really been wrapping around my head, because I don't know how to take that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Okay, you don't know, you're stumped too? I've been stumped over this. And so, you know, in certain cases, you know, it is appealing for Steve Jobs, of course, but, you know,
Steve,
what if
Jobs dropping coffee on himself? Okay.
Like, if I'm like, oh, I dropped out of college, people be like, oh. You know, it's like, I'm no Steve Jobs here. So,
yeah.
This is taken with a grain of salt, but this is only just one theory. You know, this experiment is from 1966. It may not be 100% accurate. They've gone over this many times and tried to refine it, but the idea is still rooted, you know, in the same way. There are lots of other theories as well, but this is the one that kind of struck me when I was looking online, because I really did not know how to rebuttal this.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps it just depends on how confident the person is, how charismatic the person is in, you know, association with how imperfect they are. Like, that can also change your evaluation of them. But yeah, it's hard to say for sure. We would definitely need to look into more experiments about this.
Yeah, because I mean, if the imperfect person was confident about making that imperfect mistake, you know, I feel like that has more credibility than someone who's like, oh damn it, like, I shouldn't, oh sorry, oh dang it, I shouldn't have done, you know, this thing, and I hate myself, and this sucks.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that could be something that is adds to this, but
perhaps
it maybe also remind me back to the bowl thing. I was like, what if, you know, we're fixing the bowl, right? But what if the bowl is in shattered pieces? Like, I'm telling you, you need some duct tape or something at this point.
I guess you need a lot of dedication, patience, and skill.
Like, you need some tweezers.
Yeah.
At this point.
Precision, for sure.
But the bowl can be fixed.
Yeah, the bowl, I guess, still, like, fixable. Can be fixed.
Like,
new,
what if
pieces can be
dust?
Added. Dust. Okay. Like, dust is like, you have passed away.
And then that got me into thinking about other bowls, because I'm like, what if everyone's a broken bowl? Like, what if everyone has this gold liqueur? We're all the same bowl. How do you pick which bowl now? You know, we're all one of a kind.
What if you're just all gold liqueur?
So
anyway,
getting a little too much into that.
We should wrap it up a little
on a nicer note.
Yeah, I have one last note that actually kind of impacted me and made me think differently about being happy, because I think we are talking about that a lot throughout this episode. It's like this goal of being happy, being perfect. But, you know, as I was doing my research in Buddhism, they're kind of saying that the obsession with seeking happiness has blinded us to what happiness actually is. And happiness is just an emotion, which comes and goes, just like sadness, anger, fear. Like, we can't always be happy all the time, just like you can't be angry all the time or sad all the time. So chasing this, like, just an emotion, and not accepting it as part of all of your other emotions and, you know, existing in harmony with one another. Like, it is kind of like an impossible dream. And I think that's why it's so emphasized to be accepting of your current state and also content with it. So, yeah.
Yeah. And finding beauty in things that, you know, are in the now, and just what state you are right now is, I think, the message of life that we all know, but we don't want to hear.
Yep. The message of life. There you go. There you have it.
There you have it. That's the take-home message. I need to really take this message home, though. This is something that I've got to shove into my brain.
Pack it up.
But this is a good talk. So we're going to head back into the music since we only have a little bit of time left. So we'll get into the last couple songs, which are DJ Star's picks.
Yes, the next song is called VVV, They Lie by Pantayo.
Love that.
Thank you.
Years of Carpet explores 1990s indie classics, recently exhumed underground gems. Every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Tune in if you're a slacker, loser, or creep for an hour of positively nostalgic triggers and some new stuff too. On CJSF 90.1 FM or streaming at cjsf.ca.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started, so I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
Solo quieres llorar, baby. Salte conmigo, vámonos a bailar. Y si un asqueroso viene, empieza a hablar. Dile, la música está fuerte, no te puedo escuchar, mami.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby, Community Radio from Simon Fraser University.
The song that you just heard was Muevelo by Kelly Uchis. She just released that single, and it has been definitely making its rounds on my playlists.
And will be on mine, too.
Nice.
My mic wasn't even on. That was diabolical.
I've been a mess on the board today.
Banned from the board.
My apologies, everyone.
I guess they don't even know what station we're.
Oh yeah, we're CJSF 9.1 FM Slumber Party. I'm DJ Star,
and I'm DJ Coco. Yeah. as we were saying, yeah, this Kylie Uchis released her new album, awesome album. But we just wanted
it was a single.
It was a single. Sorry, guys. Sorry, everyone. Anyways, we gotta do our goodbyes because we are at the top of the hour, so stay tuned for the open mic that's after us, and as well, at 8 p.m., we have Big Poover with our music coordinator, Connor. Sorry, that was kind of rushed, but we've gotta go. But thank you for being here, and we'll see you next week.
Bye!
Bye!
Thanks for listening. See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.